Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, 24 and a half more minutes of education and news and analysis and whatever else we want to talk about here that will edify you. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning.
Again. And we got, for here in us, for us in the central time zone and westward, it's still morning. Good morning, Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning, Tim.
All right, Steve.
What do you got for us? Got this email, and I thought I'd give so start out with a little bit of good news.
Okay, let's do that.
So we've been kind of watching this the Sound of Freedom movie, and how it's been doing. It's been busting all expectations. Now the one place you might think it might have a hard sell is in Central America, given that's kind of where all the trouble is in the movie. Well, according to Angel Studio, who put this out, Sound of Freedom is now claiming the number one spot in 18 countries in Latin America. And they have reached their goal of selling 2 million tickets in Central America, Latin America, to represent the 2 million kids that are trafficked each year.
2 million every year?
2 million children trafficked each year. Yep, that's what they say.
So they must mean worldwide.
I'm assuming. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway,
two is too many.
Yeah, no. Listen, I'm just stunned by I'm staggered by that number.
Mm-hmm. This is according to their press release. The film has already reached its goal of selling 2 million tickets in Latin America to represent the 2 million children trafficked each year.
This movie is a phenomenon.
Yeah,
I mean, and you know what? It's strange. Jim Caviezel is not only in this one, but was in the last phenomenon.
Yeah, the Passion of the Christ,
which was, I don't know, around 2000 or
2001 somewhere. I think it was 2007 maybe.
Oh, okay.
It was a little
But anyway, this in terms of worldwide, do you know that for the Passion of the Christ, there were Muslim nations that allowed it to be shown because they interpreted it as being an anti-Jewish movie. So you had all the, so their own antagonisms and hostilities towards Jewish people led them to allow in movie theaters a movie that proclaimed the suffering and death on the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
2004. God has kind of a sense of humor, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, that's good news.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So moving on, let's talk about the inability of the United States government to stop spending money. Can we? Because
you're going right to the downer.
You're right in my wheelhouse. I'm ready to go, baby.
Ready to go. Discuss economics.
Come on, bring it, Steve.
The federal deficit is expected to nearly double this year from about $1 trillion last year to $2 trillion mm-hmm. for the fiscal year ending in September 30th. And just so you know, the federal government's biggest expense is servicing the national debt. In 2022, the federal government spent $476 billion in interest alone to service the national debt. Now, I've heard, Tim, I know I kind of buy in with you on this, until something happens, as long as the dollar is the world standard, no one's going to do anything about it, and we're not really going to see. But it's kind of the frog in the kettle. Interest rates are going up because of this. It's affecting the housing markets. Says the Washington Post's Jeff Stein, a strong economy usually reduces the deficit, not this time.
Well, let me explain myself from years gone past or years gone by. If you'd asked me 15 years ago, I would have said, like a lot of people, when we were $12 trillion in debt or whatever our country was at the time, that this is going to blow up in our faces if we keep on down this road of annual deficits getting into the trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, right? But then basically nothing happened. And we're at 30, what are we now, 33, 34?
I think I think that's right.
Now, some people would argue, yes, some things did happen negatively, but I'm talking about total and complete economic collapse. That's what I'm talking about, which hasn't happened. And I don't know that it will, because it hasn't happened already.
You might be right.
And 32.9.
Well, I think what this article is arguing is that it's not saying that there's going to be a collapse and we're all going to be cooking on wood stoves in the back of our, you know, house because we have no more culture or country left.
Not gas stoves.
No. What it's saying is that it is having an impact on inflation. It's having an impact on interest rates. As we get more and more, you're going to not be able to afford.
That's true.
Certain
well,
things.
Well, I am going to make a prediction.
Yeah.
But let me just say this real quick, and then you make your prediction.
Okay.
However, I would say to that, again, I'm about to get in over my head to the point of drowning.
You and but I.
I'm going to go
you
ahead,
and I. It doesn't take long.
No, it doesn't take long. Let me just say this. So we had all this happen in the 70s, and we didn't have all this debt. So I don't necessarily buy that the interest rates being up are because of the national debt. I'm very cynical nowadays about yeah. that. Go ahead, though.
All right, so I'm going to make a prediction. The economy will collapse on May 16th of 2024.
You write this down.
And let me tell you that all hope is not May 16th. Follow along,
I'm writing this down.
May 16th, 2024.
Okay.
But all is not lost. I want to announce Vitagliano Emergency Preparedness and Survival Gear. I have survival kits and miscellaneous gear.
Powered light. Before May.
Free shipping, folks. Free shipping. You can get enough food to last you for 6 years while your neighbors starve to death. You can have ammunition sufficient to shoot anybody that comes within 100 yards of your food supply storage.
So how much? All right, I'm going to put you guys on the spot. How much Armageddon food you got, Steve? How much you got in your pantry?
Well, here, the problem is if I buy it from Vitagliano, it's going to be 6 years worth of pizza.
No.
I'm not sure
that's
that.
Very impractical.
Okay.
I want to answer your question.
Go ahead. Tell me what you got in your pantry.
I've got a bucket of rice and a bucket of beans left over from Y2K that I'm hoping are still good.
You're hoping. So.
All right, folks. All just right. A little levity in the face of oblivion.
So what do you got, Steve?
I got nothing. So I've got some ramen in my pantry. I've got some cans.
You don't have any prepper stuff?
I'm not a prepper.
I bet if we have a problem, you're going to go to a prepper's house.
I'm going to go to Ed's house.
I've got 2 weeks' worth in case of a storm.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think we at least need to have. We got water.
A couple weeks.
We've got. I don't think we got a couple weeks. We got some. Maybe Heather. Maybe this is what we're going to be doing.
I'm not telling you what my address is then. You're not coming to my house.
Steve will come over to your house, wanting your stuff.
Christian brother, you're on your own. Anyway, folks, I'm not making fun
of prepping. We did buy one of those, what do you call them?
I call them
Armageddon packets. That's what I call them. Anyway, it's the food.
Yeah, in the packets. The meals ready to eat, MREs. Yeah,
so this is where I...
And got a bunch of distilled, I say distilled, a bunch of water, so...
Yeah. I don't know about y'all, but I don't plan to be here during Armageddon. I'm going to be gone. So, you know, prepare all you want for it, but I'm going to be.
We've seen supply chain problems.
Right.
Not caused by Armageddon, but caused by unions or trucks being backed up or something out of China not getting here. So, I mean, those kind of things that kind of an unforeseen that we take for granted. That could happen.
Yeah.
You could, I mean, huh? The grocery stores, maybe they don't have, the shelves aren't stocked for some reasons. I don't know.
I've told my wife, I said, this is absolutely true. We will have a month's worth of toilet paper at our house.
At any given time?
At any given time, I don't care about the food. I guess the two are linked. But anyway.
I was going to say.
Okay. Because of the COVID thing. Remember COVID? You couldn't. It was
what was that about?
You could. I don't know what the deal was with, but it was difficult to find toilet paper. And
yeah,
what else?
No, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
But I, now, like you, if we do have Armageddon or end of the world, maybe not in a true biblical sense, but
a collapse of a civilization happened in Rome.
My wife, Allison, she's loaded for a bunch of bears.
Yeah.
Not just one. So you come to our house, you're going to be dead. If you try to get in our house and get our food, our 6 weeks of food.
But your husband and I work together.
Oh, you're going to be mowed down. Questions later.
I'm seeing Back to the Future 2 in my head.
Run for cover.
She,
and there's no cover at your house.
She makes
right?
Annie Oakley look weak. Anyway, what'd you say, Steve?
I said I got Back to the Future 2 running in my head. What was the principal's name who's shooting the shotgun from his porch?
I don't remember.
Well, we don't have a guest standing by, right? I got my good. Anyway, so she's got this AR.
Don't even.
I've got
AR-15.
I don't know which one it is.
15, 16, 17,
whatever it takes.
I just know. I told her. I said. So you have this? Because I don't. I'm not a gun enthusiast.
Right.
I'll just be honest with you. I'm not.
So, get your 9-iron. That's it.
Yes, that's what I told her. I get them
up close.
You get the machine gun, and I got the.
Get the ones that get through the picket.
I got the 7-iron. Okay, we're ready to go here. But I said, you got all this ammo and all these guns. Where are we gonna bury all these people?
Especially as much as she takes care of the yard.
Yeah,
she's not gonna
be in our yard.
She's not gonna leave people.
No, so
this
gonna
is
be dragging
dark.
You're pretty quick. This
would make a great movie, wouldn't it? Apocalypse Now.
I think they've made these.
They might
they're called
have.
zombie apocalypse movies.
Anyway, all right, Steve, go ahead.
All right, did you guys see the Medal of Honor ceremony that happened at the White House yesterday? A Army captain, his name is Larry Taylor, 81 years old. He's a Vietnam War vet. His heroism happened during the Vietnam War. He flew a Huey. He was flying support and cover for some troops that were on the ground in Vietnam, started taking fire. They used up all of their ammo. He decided at risk of life and limb to go down, land the Huey, and get the troops that were on the ground out. They ended up having to throw hand grenades because everything else was out, got them to safety, hero, given the Medal of Honor some, 50 years later. But President Biden decided he had somewhere to be, because as soon as he had pinned the medal on Captain Taylor, he started to turn to walk off the stage, and Captain Taylor went to attention and gave him a salute. Biden kind of turned around and gave him a half salute back, and then he bolted. Now, there was a closing ceremony. There was a prayer from Chaplain Brigadier General William Green that he missed out on. In fact, the White House feed cut as soon as he left. They didn't even show the prayer. I mean, he's taking a little heat because he
didn't. But he doesn't know it.
This is the checking of the watch. This is the checking of the watch while they're offloading bodies, part two.
Well, all I can say is that ice cream cone was not going to eat itself.
Yeah.
So somebody, listen, the president went right to the front lines at Baskin Robbins to do his civic duty. No, listen, that's a faux pas. That's you don't leave, even if he had to be somewhere else.
Yeah.
He should have had someone else representing his administration on that stage to end the program.
Yeah.
To have someone come up and say the prayer. It was very tacky, but to Tim's point, and I know we're kind of in giggle mode right now. I know I am, but
yeah.
He may just not know. He may just not know he's supposed to hang around.
Right.
or not know. Maybe he thought he was making his way back to it. I don't know. He just, yeah, it was noticeable, as they say.
This is constant with him, and that's why polls of Democrats, and now you're increasingly having Democrats who are writing editorials. Dennis DeConcini, I think the former Arizona politician, talking about the fact that there have to be other options besides Joe Biden.
Hey, I want to talk about some people that are not having a very good day at work. Well, one is a guy this is a guy, 44-year-old Reza Baluchi. And this is the...
Is he the brother of John?
He might be a brother, well...
Our cousin?
That's Baluchi.
What's his name?
Baluchi. His name is Reza Baluchi, 44 years old.
Okay.
And he was rescued in the Atlantic in a hamster ball that he was trying to paddle his way. And you've seen those hamster balls?
Yeah.
This guy
I've
was
got
in
one.
There. He was walking and paddling this thing by walking. He wanted to get to London. And the Coast Guard caught him. This is like the...
Caught him. That's a good way to put it.
It's the fourth time.
They chased him down.
It's the fourth time they chased him down. They caught him 70 miles off the coast.
This is a hamster
marathoner.
What? A hamster what? What'd you call that?
A hamster. It's a hamster wheel. It's got flotation.
It's a metal tube.
Flotation.
Oh, I'm looking at this story.
Balloons or whatever on the side.
And as he walks, it turns and paddles and propels this thing forward.
Yeah.
It propelled him 70 miles off the coast.
And now he was headed for London.
London!
To try to cross the Atlantic. I don't know what people... First of all, you've got too much money if you can afford to buy this thing, this contraption.
Too much money and not enough brains.
And then, the brain... The brain
doesn't
drain
function
that's
right.
Previously happened for this guy to go. And now the Coast Guard's calling this, they arrested him for manifestly unsafe vessel.
Yeah. It wasn't licensed.
It's got inflatable buoys on each side and paddles that are powered by a runner inside.
Greta Thunberg would have been pleased.
Did he have food aboard? I mean, was he planning on...
He did. Left over from Y2K.
Yeah, I think he must have. I don't know.
It says he's off the coast of Tybee Island, Georgia, 70 miles. I'm looking at this craft he had created. I guess he created a watercraft, like you said, like a hamster wheel.
Say what you will, but I'm impressed he got 70 miles off the coast. 70 miles.
How?
That's like 2.5 marathons.
It says here he threatened to kill himself with a 12-inch knife if anyone tried to apprehend him.
He might have been a little...
Claimed to have a bomb aboard, so evidently he wasn't right.
He might have been a little... maybe not right. But that's the reason
he
wants to raise funds.
So here, the distance... So it is impressive that he got 70 miles.
Yeah.
The distance from Georgia to London... 4,221 miles.
Yeah, but 221 of those are on land, so he wouldn't have had to worry about that.
He just says, the quote, "I'll never give up my dream. They stopped me 4 or 5 times, but I will never give up." So, determination.
All right.
You got to give it up, Baluchi.
Here's another couple workers. This is in China. These guys are not having a good day right now. They're construction workers. And they wanted to get their equipment from one place to another, but there was this barrier in between where they wanted to go. Some people refer to it as the Great Wall of China. These construction workers literally cut a 30-yard hole in the Great Wall of China and paved a road through it to get their equipment across.
I'm looking at a story here that says created irreversible damage.
Yes.
How did they get away with it in a place like China?
If only the Huns had known this.
Wow.
Isn't that a pretty thick wall?
Yes.
Well, these were it. They were engineers.
what was their point?
They needed to get some equipment from one side of the wall to the other side of the wall. And I, granted, it's like some 10,000 miles to go around the wall.
Yeah, I would just go over the top of it.
Yeah, you might think.
Huh? Anyway, that's crazy.
They've been arrested.
Do you think in China? Oh, that was a shock. They've been arrested. I think the communist Chinese government looks too kindly on you destroying their one of the eight wonders of the ancient world or whatever it is, huh? Who thought that was a good idea?
I think that Reza Baluchi was part of the
might have been.
He was part of the brain trust on that.
They had to get his hamster ball across. That's what they were doing.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Those are some Chinese rednecks right there. What that was. Huh?
Glad to hear there are rednecks in every culture.
There are.
But they're Democrat rednecks because they're tearing down the wall.
Tearing down.
All right, what else you got?
All right. Hey, have you guys ever played the game 6 Degrees from Kevin Bacon? Or
I've heard of it. I've never played it.
Tell us what that is, Steve.
Well, okay, so there's this theory that in Hollywood, you name any actor, and if you look at the roles they've played or the awards they've won and the presenters, they've interacted with anybody in Hollywood, you can be within 6 degrees of the actor Kevin Bacon.
And it was kind of a joke. It was,
right. But it's based on game theory. You remember the movie about the guy that was kind of got the Nobel Prize for game theory? He had schizophrenia. He saw people, but he really.
Talking about A Beautiful Mind?
A Beautiful Mind.
With Russell Crowe?
Yes. Well, they used his invention or his discovery of game theory. What this scientists have done is they have found that anybody in the world is within 6 degrees of anybody else in the world. And this theory
started. This is true.
Well, this theory started back
in 1967.
Yeah, in 1967, what they did is they wanted people in Boston to send a letter to someone in England.
And randomly?
Random people. They wanted it. So they pull a name out of the phone book. Instead of sending it to that person, they sent it to the person they thought was most likely to have a connection that might know that person. The letter got there. Letters got there an average of six, intermediaries.
Yeah.
But now they've mathematically proved that any one of us are within six connections, personal connections. Either we worked with somebody,
Of what? Of anybody in the world?
Anybody in the world.
and random people.
Yeah.
Just random people. This was a fascinating story. It says
just mathematics. It's just simply mathematics.
Yep. A team of international scientists claims to have proven this phenomenon after determining most people's objective is not to make many connections, but to obtain the right ones.
So, it's the self-serving thing where they're not just randomly out there on social media making connections. They're going to put the connections with the people they think can help them the most. In the movie, The Beautiful Mind, remember they were in the bar. Well,
A Beautiful Mind.
A Beautiful Mind. They're sitting in a bar and three guys and three women, beautiful women. And so they were discussing what is the best way that you could actually have a date with the most beautiful woman. And it wasn't by going up and asking her directly, but it was by doing what was best for the group instead of what was best for this individual. That's what game theory is, basically.
Yeah.
Well, first I want to say my wife doesn't let me date anymore. But if I was going to try that, it never worked.
I'm
going to
stop
single.
Right there.
Yeah, I'm going on.
We need to stop there. Show's about over. No need to risk everything. Last 20 seconds.
I'm going on a date with my wife tonight.
Are you going? Yeah.
We're going down to Madison, Mississippi for a concert, Heather and I.
With who? Who are you going to?
The Collinsworth family.
Oh. Tell them I said hello.
I will.
See you tomorrow, everybody.